Integrated.
What do you mean?
Too many of us struggle to integrate our faith into our lives.
Is it both?
When the head is full, but the heart is empty, the soul becomes cold and lifeless.
So it's both, together.
This is the integration where faith finds its true power.
Oh, now I get it.
Welcome to Integrated, where theology and life come together. And now your host, all the way from Sharpsburg, Georgia. This is Dr. John Kreutz.
Welcome to Integrated. We are still considering how we should think about the Bible. I mean, you hear the preacher say, read your Bible. I remember my old pastor once said to me when I was walking in the hallway of our church building that I grew up in, says, now, John, are you reading your Bible every day? He may have called me Johnny. Most of the people did back in the day. And I just laughed. I thought that's got to be a joke that I would actually read the Bible every day. And I've said before that if your pastor asks you if you're reading the Bible every day, don't laugh. It's not a joke. That's what pastors do ask, because we ought to be reading our Bible every day. Maybe you're reading the Bible every day, but you haven't really considered how to think about the Bible. And so we've been thinking about that over the past few weeks. We've seen that the Bible is the inspired Word of God. We've seen that it's inerrant. We've seen that it is infallible. It never fails. We've seen that the Bible is authoritative. Today, I want us to consider the sufficiency of the Bible. The Bible has all we need for life and godliness. Maybe another way to say that is, the Bible has all you need to know God and to please God. Now, in one way, that might seem very simple and obvious, but in another way, how profound is that? The Bible has what you need to know God. I mean, you're a sinner. You are at enmity with God before you're saved. And yet the Bible says there's a way that a sinful person can be in a right relationship with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible is what tells us this great message. You say, well, I heard it from a preacher. Yeah, well, hopefully the preacher was preaching from the Bible. It's not the preacher's words that matter. It's the Bible's words that matter. And if a preacher's worth his salt, he is preaching from the Bible. The Bible is our authority, and the Bible has all that we need to know God. But then beyond that, the Bible has everything we need to please God. Do you want to please God? What do you need to please God? How can I please God, even as a Christian? How can I make my Father smile, so to speak? God is a spirit. He doesn't have a body like we do. But the Bible speaks in kind of personified language about God as God reveals himself to us. I don't think it's wrong to think about making our Heavenly Father smile in the sense that we can be pleasing to God. Well, how can we do that? The Bible tells you how to do that. The Bible is all you need to be pleasing to God. Now, I've written some books to try to help Christians in the Christian life. I've loved books. I've read many books. But what we're saying is those books are non-essential. And in fact, the benefit of those books are that they help us understand the book better and help us apply the book, the Bible, better to our Christian lives, because the Bible is sufficient. Now, sufficiency of Scripture doesn't mean that the Bible tells us everything we may want to know. Oh, I would love to know how birds fly, or you know, that kind of thing. Just as a wild example, I would like to know the secret formula for, you know, Coca-Cola. I live near Atlanta, Georgia, and they have a big vault, and they say the secret is in the vault. You know, down at the World of Coke Museum down in Atlanta, Georgia. You may want to know all kinds of things, but you don't need to know them. If you needed to know this or that, it would be in the Bible. The Bible has all that we need. I've used the illustration over the years of some of those gray areas in the Christian life. And we, you know, areas where Christians, good Christians, disagree. And the Bible has whole categories about that in 1 Corinthians 8 through 10 and Romans 14 and 15, where there's some debated issues. Is it okay to eat meat sacrificed to idols? Is it okay? Should we honor every day alike, or should we honor one day above another day? Is it okay to eat these foods or to drink this drink? Well, good Christians disagree. And so what do we need to know about that? Well, Paul tells us what we need to know. We need to not put stumbling blocks in front of our brothers and sisters. We need to show love to them. We need to seek to honor them and not to tempt them to violate their own conscience. And I've made the point over the years, if God wanted us to know everything there was to know about every issue that would come up, he would have told us. But instead, he gave us principles to follow, and he gave us clarity, and then he gave us freedom outside of that to make applications in our lives. He wants us to have to wrestle with these things. He wants us to have to show love to people who believe differently than we do about areas that are not spelled out in Scripture. So what are the implications of this teaching that the Bible has all that we need to know God and to please God? Well, when people try to come up with better ways to build a mousetrap in church or in the Christian life, we need to say, wait a minute, are you going beyond what the Scripture says or the implications of what the Scripture teaches and trying to come up with something better on your own? Well, let me tell you, as a pastor, we get a lot of spiritual junk mail, if you will, where somebody's got a new conference or a new book where they're trying to sell us something to do church in a better way. Here's 10 key business principles you can bring in so that you don't have to be the old-fashioned shepherd of the sheep anymore, Pastor. You can be a CEO, and you can treat church administration like middle management, and we can just take care of business, and that'll be more effective than that old Bible stuff about shepherding the flock of God that's among you. And what about psychology, the place of psychology? Oh, a lot of people say, well, psychology, I hadn't thought about that in terms of the sufficiency of Scripture. Psychology deals with all these soul issues that isn't really spoken about in the Scripture. Is that right? What are the psychologists actually doing? Well, they're trying to help people solve their problems. Solving problems. I'm kind of intrigued. What kind of problems? Oh, yeah, these very important issues like depression or anxiety or conflict resolution or sexual issues or anger management. Whoa, wait a minute. I think the Bible actually does say some things about all of those issues. Wait a minute. How do we sort this out? Some Christians would like us to say, well, yes, the Bible does on a surface issue, but we need deep psychology to get to the real root issues. Wait a minute. If God has all that we need for life and godliness, if the Bible has all that we need to know God and to please God, and these problems or issues are issues of me not pleasing God, maybe the Bible has a lot to say about these things. Maybe the Bible has all that I need to solve these things. Now, of course, we're not saying that there can't be medical issues involved, and we're not saying that there's not wisdom in speaking to a counselor, but what we are saying is that if the Bible has what we need to solve our problems, May it be that the counsel we seek is biblical counsel. Oh, there's a podcast also on your Fortis Plus app by Dr. Greg Gifford, who's a professor at the Masters University. And he is a professor in biblical counseling. And let me give you a little secret. If you listen to his Transformed podcast, you are going to secretly be getting biblical counseling in action. He takes one of the issues of life and shows proof positive that God has wisdom in the Bible to solve that very problem. Wow. He's like taking the sufficiency of Scripture that we're talking about, and he's putting it into practice by showing how God's word is sufficient. And here's a practical demonstration of the sufficiency of Scripture by taking a real life problem and applying God's word to that problem, and then kind of massaging it in and showing how God's word actually has all that we need to solve that problem in a way that pleases the Lord. Now, we need to take a break. When we come back, I want to prove the sufficiency of Scripture from the Scripture. And I want to work out the implications of what it means for your life as you consider how to integrate this truth of God's word into your life.
And we'll be back with more from Dr. Kreutz in just a moment. You know, one of the things that we've noticed across every Fortis podcast, whether it's Thrive with Pastor Brad Bigney, Transform with Dr. Greg Gifford, The Way of Manhood with Dr. Adam Tyson, The Better Way with Libby Glosson, or Integrated Here with Dr. John Kreutz, is one recurring thread. The Bible isn't just powerful, it's practical. And that's exactly what you're hearing today with Dr. Kreutz. The Bible is sufficient for everything. Look, if you're just discovering Fortis, can I encourage you for just a moment? Don't stop at one show. There's a whole network of daily content available on the Fortis Plus app, and it's 100% free. No fees, no tiers, no paywalls to run into. Just daily biblical truth from trusted voices delivered straight to your phone. You're going to get podcasts and hot takes and daily news updates from yours truly. I'm kind of partial to that feature myself. You can find it by searching for Fortis Plus in your app store or visiting fortisplus.org. And hey, if you're someone who likes to stay in the loop, you might want to consider becoming a Fortis Insider. Also free, you're going to get a daily email about the 7 new pieces of content that we're adding to Fortis Plus every day. That's right, we add 7 new pieces of content to Fortis Plus every day. And as a Fortis Insider, you'll get an email directly to your email inbox with that new content that we're adding that day. Helps you stay organized and keep up with what's going with all of the stuff that's being added to Fortis. There's already hundreds of hours of audio and video content in Fortis Plus for free. But being a Fortis Insider gets you early updates and access to so much. Sign up to be a Fortis Insider right now at fortisinstitute.org. And if you've been here with us for a while, I mean, we've been doing this for 25 years now. First as Wretched Radio, then as Gospel Partners Media, and now as Fortis Institute. If you've been on this path with us, on this journey with us, we would love it if you would join us as an ongoing monthly Gospel Partner, because what we've done for 25 years would not have been possible without our Gospel Partners. So we would be so appreciative if you would join us and partner with us in this mission to reach more people with the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. 83% of every dollar you give to this ministry goes directly to the work of ministry. Now remember, this should never replace giving to your local church, but if you are in a place to partner with us, we'd be so grateful. Visit FortisInstitute.org right now to get all of the answers to all of the questions that I know you have about what it would look like in your life to be a Gospel Partner. FortisInstitute.org. Now, let's get back to Dr. John Kreutz as we continue to explore the sufficiency of God's Word. This is Integrated. Welcome back to Integrated.
It has to go from a theory, a concept, or even a theology. It has to move our hearts.
And now back to your host, Dr. John Kreutz.
Welcome back. Today on Integrated, we are thinking about how to think about the Bible. We're thinking about the Bible, and we're thinking about the sufficiency of Scripture. The Bible has all that we need for life and godliness. The Bible has all that you need to know God and to please God. Now, it's not enough for me to just make these assertions about the sufficiency of Scripture. Let's consider the Scriptures themselves and see if they talk like they are sufficient for life and godliness. Well, a great passage about the nature of Scripture is 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17. These verses keep coming up. I think they might be on the final exam. You probably want to know these verses well. Might not be a bad thing to memorize them. All Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be competent, equipped for every good work. Well, if you are a man of God, if you are a preacher, if you are a person that is seeking to use the Scriptures in life and ministry as applying the Scriptures to others, well, the Bible is actually what will make you competent. The Bible will equip you. The Bible is your full tool belt, right? If you have to call up the plumber to come and fix your leaky pipes, it's really good that the plumber comes in a big old truck filled with equipment, filled with tools, so that he will have everything he needs to fix your leaky pipe. Well, as you minister, it's like your truck is full. And when you go and minister to someone else with the Scriptures, you have the equipment you need. The Scriptures are inspired by God, breathed out by God, it says in the English Standard Version of the Bible in 2 Timothy 3:16. And because they're breathed out by God, they are profitable. They are beneficial. They can do the job. And he lists four areas of their profitability: for teaching, giving you a solid foundation for the Christian life, for reproof. They're the things that poke you and convict you when you get off of that foundation. When you start walking on a different path, the Scriptures are all that you need to convict you and to correct you, to get you from the wrong path back to the right path. And for training in righteousness, that is comprehensive training for your entire Christian life. The Bible, the Scriptures, they are sufficient to meet the need. In Psalm chapter 19, the psalmist, David, he extols God in different ways. He extols God for his general revelation of creation. And then he extols God for the Scriptures themselves. And he describes the Bible in these wonderful descriptive words, not only for what the Bible is, but for what the Bible is good for. He says in verse 7 of Psalm 19, "The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The rules of the Lord are true and righteous altogether." Do you see that the Bible has all that you need to know God and to please God? And in 2 Peter chapter 1, Peter really spells this out in verses 3 and 4. "His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness." Okay, so God himself, by his divine power, has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Well, that sounds kind of like the case we're trying to make for the sufficiency of Scripture. But here he just says God's divine power does give us all that we need for life and godliness. Okay, it's like how to be right with God and how to please God. Sounds like that to me. All right, let's keep going and find out how or where God gives us these things. "Through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence." Okay, so God's power gives us all that we need for life and godliness, and he does it through the knowledge of him. All right, that sounds good. I'm tracking so far. Knowing God and knowing God's truth is what we need. How does that relate to the Scripture? Next verse, verse 4 of 2 Peter 1, "by which he has granted to us his precious and very great promises." That's where we're getting the connection between God's power and the knowledge of God and the scriptures. It's God's promises. It's God's words, right? In a bigger sense, you could see all of God's word as a giant promise, pointing forward to Christ and what he's accomplished and the implications of that. He says, by which he has granted to us his precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. Wow, it really is about the scripture. This really is what we need. I think of 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2, like newborn infants long for the pure spiritual milk, or as someone says, the pure milk, spiritual milk of the word, that by it you may grow up to salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. The spiritual milk, or the milk of the word, is the word of God. It is the Bible. The Bible has what we need to grow. The Bible has what we need to please the Lord. And if we get off the path, the Bible has what we need to get us back on the path and to keep us on the path. The Bible builds the fear of God into us. The Bible revives our soul. The Bible rejoices our heart. The Bible has all that we need for life and godliness. The Bible is sufficient. Don't go looking for the secret to the Christian life beyond the Bible. Make yourself to be a student of the Bible. So that kind of leads us into, what do we do about this? If this is true, what does this mean for my life? Well, like my old pastor said, have you read the Bible today? Are you a student of the Bible? If the Bible is God's very words, and it is, if it is inspired by God, and it is, if it is inerrant, and it is, if it is authoritative, and it is, if it is sufficient, and it is, you've got to know the book. You really better know the Bible. And there's nothing, there is no substitute, great or small, for reading your Bible day by day, week by week, month by month, year by year. Get to know the book. Get to know the book. The more you know the Bible, the more useful you will be in ministry. Use the Bible as you minister to others. Does someone have a spiritual need? Does someone need comfort? Share scripture with them. Share a word of comfort with them. Does someone need to be confronted? Well, speak God's truth to them in love, as it says in Ephesians 4:15. Yes, be loving. Yes, be compassionate as you seek to minister to your friend or your brother or sister at church, but speak the truth, because the Bible is God's power for salvation. The Bible has the all-sufficient way for you to be pleasing to God. Does somebody need a word of encouragement? Take them to the scriptures. Now, you may be a biblical counselor. You may be certified by ACBC, the Association of Certified Biblical Counselors, which we love. That's great. And you may be doing formal biblical counseling today. That's great. But all of us give counsel all the time. The question is whether or not it's biblical, whether or not it is matching up with the Bible. So as you give counsel formally, or just hanging over the back of the chair at church, or in the lobby, or at the coffee shop, give counsel that is based on the scriptures. And don't settle for a church that plays fast and loose with the scriptures. You need a church that is preaching the word, teaching the word, and living the word. If you go to a church that is filled with compromise, they don't teach you the Bible. They're not even trying to preach the Bible. They do whatever feels good. They do whatever the survey says that unbelievers want in a congregation. Well, that is not the church for you. If there is a healthy church nearby, get yourself there. Be there. Be all in, because you need the word to minister to you and to keep you on the right path so that you can please the Lord. We don't in this want to just be hearers of the word. We're not being students of the word to fill our notebooks with data. We are to be people that put what we learn into practice. We are doers of God's all-sufficient word.
This has been Integrated from Dr. John Kreutz, a production of Fortis Institute. Our website is fortisinstitute.org, and it is your central hub for all things Fortis. If you've enjoyed Integrated with Dr. John Kreutz, would you please consider subscribing and sharing with your friends and church family? Also, would you prayerfully consider joining this labor of love by becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? And until next time, go serve your King.